I'm Kate Remington, and I'm talking with violinist Gerald Kim and the conductor of the Greater Bridgeport Youth Orchestra's Chris Heisey. Gerald just won the concerto competition put on by the GBYO here at our broadcast center. And Gerald, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And Chris, what was that experience like? I mean, hearing all these incredible soloists. I mean, I can't even imagine how the jury chose one.
Yeah, it's tough. We do the competition in two rounds, and we had 12 people in the first round, and we winnowed it down to, I think it was six. And then Gerald, of course, won, and all the performances were phenomenal. And the judges and I, it was Gary Capozzello, who is a GBYO alum, and George Croce, who is one of our coaches. They were the other two judges. And, you know, we had a discussion about it, but in the end, it was really clear that Gerald was the winner. And, you know, we're really proud of him and excited to do this concert together. And it won't be until May now, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And the orchestra, you know, Gerald had a lot of fans in the audience, and they went all crazy when we announced the winner. So that was good.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, Gerald, I mean, obviously a performer wants to bring the best performance that you can on any given day. But what is it like to get yourself mentally ready for a competition like this?
So I just, at my house, I just practice, like, trying to perform. Like, I perform for my family a lot. So, like, you know, get that kind of experience. And I've done a couple of these kind of competitions before, like with the audiences and like recitals too. And so that kind of also helps me prepare mentally. And like, I always get nervous before like these kind of things. So like, I always like practice a lot beforehand to make sure like my hands are like all warmed up.
What are some of the things that you do to either work with your nerves or kind of suppress them so that it doesn't become like this paralyzing thing?
So I try to talk to my friends a lot because they kind of like calm me down. I just like have a regular conversation with them, and it helps me because like it distracts me from like the nerves and like the performance and like worrying about like messing up or anything. So it really helps if I like talk like vocally to my friends or like text.
Yeah. Well, and the other cool thing about that, especially if your friends are right there in the room, breathing I think is a big secret to to getting rid of some of those nerves and that tension. And the piece that you chose to play on this competition was the first movement of the Vuitton Concerto No. 5. How did you choose that?
Actually, my mom first introduced that piece to me because like I didn't know what to play for the concerto competition, and she suggested some pieces, and one of them was the Vuitton, and I listened to it and I really liked it, so I chose that one. Yeah,
it's a really fascinating piece. And what I just learned today is that he wrote it as a kind of an exam piece for some really gifted students at the Brussels Conservatory. So it's got this history of being like a real challenge and a test for violinists. So it was a great choice, really. So, I mean, knowing that it was written for a, you know, like a not a competition exactly, but as an exam. I mean, what are some of the things that are like really challenging about it?
Always like being able to express like yourself and trying to bring out what Vuitton was trying to bring out in the piece is always a challenge. And just the basic runs, of course, they like require like technical practice and slow practice too. And shifting, fingering, all that technical stuff.
Yeah. And he, I guess, I found out looking at the original edition, there are fingerings in there and bowings, but is that just kind of a guideline, or are you really able to use like his suggestions for fingerings?
So for fingerings, I try to follow them as best like as possible because like he was the one who wrote the piece, of course, and so I try to follow them. But I usually tweak them a little bit for my style. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Chris, you were telling me before we started rolling the recording that you know we think of Vuitton as one of these long lost composers, lost in the dust of history. But in fact, the Guarneri violin that he used is still around, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. And it was built in 1784. And it's been passed on to players like Yehudi Menuhin and Itzhak Perlman and Pincus Zukerman. And was recently sold in 2012, I think it was. It was sold in auction and now has a private owner who uses it for, you know, recitals and things like that. But it's great. Vuitton himself, as a violinist, had a career and all of that. And it's kind of a sad story. I mean, I don't want to, you know, bring this interview down, but you know, he had a stroke, and sort of he did sort of go off into obscurity because he wound up in a sanatorium in Algeria, of all places.
Oh, wow.
Which is where he passed on. So it's, you know, it's kind of interesting that his own personal history, he sort of faded out into the distance. And you know, other than at the Vietnam concertos, they don't get played all that much anymore.
Yeah. And what was also interesting, I found, is that when the concerto was published, it was published with a piano accompaniment as well as orchestra parts. And so, Gerald, I'm wondering, is there what are the kind of considerations that you think about when you're playing with a piano accompaniment rather than with an orchestra?
Like, I listened to a lot of the recordings and, like, both piano accompanied and orchestra, because I've only played with an orchestra once before. That was with Mr. Heisey last year. Yeah. So that was a great experience, too. And it's a lot different because, you know, with an orchestra, you have, like, all these different parts rather than his piano. Like, it's like a watered-down version pretty much of the orchestral version. Mm-hmm. And so I think when I play with the orchestra in May, I have to, like, be more noticeable of, like, all these, like, different parts that are in the orchestra. So.
Yeah, it would be really challenging because you're so used to hearing the piano accompaniment. Yeah. And so all of a sudden to hear, like, a flute or the brass or whatever instead would be, like, a little disorienting, I would think. How much rehearsal time are you going to have, do you think?
That's
up to Chris, right?
Yeah, it's not going to be a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing the principal orchestra of GBYO is doing Carmina Burana with the Mendelssohn Choir of Connecticut at the end of March and the beginning of April. Mm-hmm. And I hope to start this piece before that concert. But if we don't get to it, then it's only going to be maybe 6 or 7 rehearsals that the orchestra actually gets, of which he'll get to do 2 or 3.
Wow. Just so like we'll the see. Pros then.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always astonished that they can pull everything together with a little bit of rehearsal time that they have. So, but I'm sure you're up to the challenge. So.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to playing with GBYO, you also are in a string quartet.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that.
So it's run by Asya Meshberg, and right now we're playing Dvorak 105, I think. And it's a challenge, really, because, you know, being first violin, you have to know, like, how to lead and how to, like, be expressive enough for, like, everybody to hear, like, Dvorak in his music. And it's a different experience from, like, solo playing, obviously, and you have to be, like, a solo within an ensemble, which is interesting. And playing with all these other, like, talented musicians is always a treat. So.
Yeah. Are they other high school kids, too? Or is
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a quartet with Allison Shively, who's also in GBYO, and Neha, who's also in GBYO, and Woojin Kim, the cellist. He's in the New York Orchestra, I think, right now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And they're all in high school. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's so cool. Well, you know, all of us who have ever attempted to learn an instrument or, you know, still play, we hit these walls, you know, where you kind of plateau. And I would imagine that's even happened to you at one point or another. So what did you do to kind of like break through that and rediscover, you know, what was fun about it?
So I actually hit this wall in when I was in like Suzuki school, which is where I first started. And so that was in like 5th grade, I think. And that's when I changed my teacher actually to Wendy. And she like teached me more of the fundamentals and like the basics, like different bow strokes. And I was able to apply those to my music, and it really helped a lot. And I was able to enjoy it a lot more than before.
Yeah. And so now when you're working on all this challenging stuff, I mean, what keeps it fun for you?
I just love music and listening to it and being able to share it with other people. And I find that just like a great experience to do, and sharing music and spreading the love for music to everybody is always great.
Yeah, I bet. It's so exciting to have you here. It must have been just a phenomenal performance, and we're all really looking forward to hearing you in May. So thank you both for coming and talking about it.
Thank you, Kate, very much for having us.